So before I go to God's Word this Christmas morning and into your very brief and short message that is prepared for you following the Scripture reading, I would like to pray over the Word, pray over you this Christmas morning, and pray over the message. So let's go to the Lord now in a prayer of illumination. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you grateful for this Christmas day, gathered here among friends and family, here to worship you in the birth of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we come to you in your Word this morning and into the prepared message, help us to open our hearts to the Word shared. Help us to open our hearts and our spirit to the time that we spend together in worship this morning. It is through your love and grace we find ourselves here this morning, and it is through our love for you that we worship you on this Christmas day. Again, we are thankful for your presence in our lives. We are thankful for the presence that you bring to our community and to our church families throughout, as well as our state and our union and our nation. Lord, we come to you now in word and message. Lift us up this morning on this Christmas day to be spirited in love as you've taught us to do the same. All these things we now ask in our Savior who is born this morning, Jesus Christ. Amen. So again, the scriptures this morning, as I told you last night, is likely my favorite of the stories. And it comes out of Luke 2 this morning, so let's go. And I'm in the New Living Translation. It's going to probably read completely different than probably the Pew Bibles that you have in front of you. Unless you're in this translation with me, it's going to sound a little bit different. So anyway, let's go to the Lord in Luke 2 through all the way through 14. We're going all the way to 20. So let's find out what the Lord has to say. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken as a governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in snugly in strips of clothing and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them in the inn. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that I will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in the city of Bethlehem, also known as the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of clothing, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of the heaven, praising God and saying the following: "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to all those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things to her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, I welcome you to Bethel's Christmas Day morning service. It is our 276th Christmas together. Our doors, as I shared with you last night, are always open to our community and our friends and our family. Again, we are honored to have you this morning in worship, and we share with you the following message. We know that the first visitors who come to visit Jesus brought gifts. The shepherds who were watching over their flocks near Bethlehem were poor men, but they brought with them that night their love, adoration, and respect. The wise men from the east brought expensive gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but more importantly, they too knelt before Jesus and worshiped him. They too, as well as the shepherds, brought their love, adoration, and respect. In a very moving scene in the movie The Nativity Story, I'm not for sure if you've ever seen it, but it is a wonderful movie. But in a very moving scene in that story, a rough-looking group of old shepherds gathered around a rather perplexed and tired and exhausted Mary and Joseph. They knelt before baby Jesus, and one of the older shepherds reaches out to Jesus with a trembling hand as to touch him. But immediately he thinks better of it, and he withdraws his hand. In the scene, Mary lends a word of advice and comfort to the shepherd. She leans into him and she says gently, "He is a gift for all mankind." And she holds out baby Jesus, and the shepherd reaches out again to touch him, whom the angel had said earlier, who is his Savior, Christ the Lord. He is also our Savior, Christ the Lord. In this scene, the old shepherd is overcome with emotion as tears fell down his cheeks, as Mary also says to him, "We," she says, "have each been given a gift." If you watch closely in that scene, the baby carefully gives a little smile, as all babies do, almost a smile of approval or acknowledgement of the love that the older shepherd had for him, as well as the love that the baby shared for the older shepherd. But what's also important in that scene is, I believe, the smile of the infant also shared his mother joy in his mind and his spirit, of the joy he had for his mother, who was willing to share him at his birth with the world, with you and me. Whatever was going through the shepherd's mind at that time, he was absolutely overcome with joy to know that he was included in the coming of our Lord, which the angel had announced to them earlier that day, and we see in Scripture this morning. Today in the city of David, it says, our Savior was born, the Messiah. The Lord God Himself came as flesh and was wrapped in strips of clothing and lying in a manger. This child was the Messiah. He is our Messiah. He is our Savior. And this morning, much like the shepherds, we are overjoyed to be a part of this celebration. You see, Jesus came as a gift to you and to me. He is mine and He is yours. God's Christmas gift to the shepherds, the Magi, and all to the world. Not only was it given to those men and women that evening, it was given to all of us every single day on earth. Friends, sometimes we focus on the giving and on the gifts so much that we miss the fact of what we truly are celebrating in the Christmas season. Remember, Jesus Christ is God's gift to us. This gift, Jesus, is from the heart of God, and it is for all people. No one, and I repeat, no one is excluded from the love and grace of Jesus Christ. After visiting the stables, we read in Scripture, the shepherds went back singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. In fact, not only the people on earth, but also the angels of heaven. The army, it says, rejoiced at the baby's birth. A great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angels singing praises to God. The Christmas story is about a gift that brought joy to the people. A gift that conquered death. A gift that conquered sin. A gift that shared love greater than man's understanding. This Christmas gift from God changes things for you and me forever. Not just this morning on Christmas Day, but forever. I want to close with a short story about the uniting power and the love of Christ when it is accepted into the heart of each person, each man and woman and child. I want to speak to this through this story this morning on Christmas Day. The father of Tom and John Peterson had died, and before his death, Mr. Peterson willed the farm to his sons with the idea and the hope that the farm would bring the brothers closer together. But it didn't work. John had married and lived nearby in a small town with his family. Tom, who remained single, lived alone in the old farmhouse located on the family farm. Tom thought John was neglecting his work, perhaps. John is always preoccupied with his family, Tom said. He does what he absolutely has to do on the farm, but then he's off. He's off to be with his wife and his children. Tom believed that he carried the load and that John did not. He felt that he did more than his fair share on the farm. Tom believed that, in fact, he said, "Who gets up in the middle of the night when there's a sick cow? I do. Where's John?" He also thought that, you know, when the sheep are out and the phone call comes and they're standing in the road, who mends the fence and returns the livestock back to their paddocks? I do. Where's John? Thus, his own demise, in his own mind, this began to suffer Tom greatly, and he began to resent his brother. On the other side of the partnership, his brother John was thinking, Tom has become a grouchy old crocus lately. It must be living alone in that old house. The walls are closing in around him, and he is miserable. When he looks at himself in the mirror, he hates what he sees, and he makes everybody else miserable around him. He seems to resent me going home to my family. He becomes such a grumpy old cuss, he's just hard to deal with. Thus, this attitude and thought left John's own, in his own demise, left him to his own demise, a wall of bitterness, which gradually built between them, to the point where the men would work on the farm together and never share a word. It made things on the farm not tough, but miserable. A far cry from what their father would hoped and his intentions were. It was so bad on Christmas Eve that year, the two brothers sat on opposite sides of the church, a clear divide even in the house of the Lord. That night, one of the carols they sang went like this: "Now to the Lord sings praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood, each other now embrace," the carol said. It goes on to sing a melody of, "O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy." As John sang these words, he was troubled because he had hardly acknowledged his own brother's presence in the church that night. In fact, they sat on opposite sides of the building. Unbeknownst to John, Tom was feeling much the same way. On the way home, John said to his wife, "Tom is alone in that old farmhouse and has no one to share Christmas with. I know that he won't come to me, but I love my brother. Maybe he can take a meal from us. Can we make a nice Christmas dinner for him?" His wife prepared a delicious meal. It was only a short walk to the farm, so John wrapped up the dinner, kept it warm, and headed to his brother's house on the farm. Tom, filled with the same love and peace of that service, the love of Christ that I speak of this morning, also had arrived home. While sitting alone in the farmhouse that evening, he thought, you know, life's too short, especially at Christmas. John is my only brother, and I love him. And it hasn't been easy for him to provide for his wife and his family. I've just smoked some fresh brisket. I've got some gifts I've made for the children in the wood shop. So Tom gets up, collects all of his things, sets off toward town to John's house with his arms full of gifts and food. Unbeknownst to the brothers, down in the valley between the farm and the town, the two brothers met on the roadway. They were silent for a moment, and then the emotions began to roll. Filled with the Spirit of God and the love of Jesus Christ, the brothers were overcome with great joy. Tears rolling down their face, they embraced, their eyes swollen with water, the words barely able to say to each other, "Merry Christmas, brother. Merry Christmas. I love you. Please forgive me." You can see what happens in this story. The barriers came down because of the love of Jesus Christ. Reconciliation took place, and peace came to the two brothers because of the love of God through the birth of Jesus Christ. The peace that God gave to each of them through His Son, the peace they heard about as they sat in that church on Christmas Eve and sang those carols, moved them to be peacemakers themselves toward each other. You and I know what devastating effect sin has in our lives. As I sat quietly this morning beside the Christmas tree, I felt called to tell you, even on this beautiful, cold, blustery Christmas morning, sin is around us. It encompasses our lives, and we all know how it can affect us. Sin is so destructive, it destroys everything that is good. It destroys good relationships, it destroys harmony between God and us, and it destroys friendships between people. That is the whole point of Christmas, though. You see, God knew this. God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. There may be lots of traditions that you will follow today, customs associated with Christmas in your families. There may be the giving and receiving of gifts, and I'm sure some of us have already started. There may be Santa suits and decorations, Christmas parties yet to come, and Christmas Day celebrations you haven't even started yet with your friends and your relatives. But in the end, the only thing that truly counts today, the only thing that I want you to focus on this very moment, this morning, is to receive the news from God Almighty, the blessings and love of Christ Jesus, the newborn child this morning, the gift of our Savior. In the movie, Mary said to the shepherd, "He is a gift to us all." Jesus Christ is our Savior, but He's also our gift. God with us in all the sin that surrounds us, that we are immersed in, the trouble and death of this world, the gift of Jesus Christ brings peace. The gift of Jesus Christ saves lives. And the gift of Jesus Christ is an everlasting gift. It has no end. It is within you, and it's shared with your families and your loved ones and your children and your friends and your church families and your communities. This is the gift that truly brings peace in this season of peace. This is the gift we celebrate this Christmas morning. Unto us, friends, a child is born. His birth, an absolute miracle. His love, our gift. His peace not only is yours, but it's the world's. Share it today and beyond. His love and peace I declare to you this Christmas morning. On behalf of the leadership here at the church, this foundational element of faith in this community, Christ is born this Christmas day. His peace I give to you now. His love I share with you this morning. May you have the merriest of Christmases and the happiest of New Year's on this 276th Christmas at Bethel Presbyterian Church. We wish you the merriest of Christmas days. Amen.